Hi, I'm Darren Peppard. Welcome to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, the podcast dedicated to today's hardworking leader. Join me every Sunday for leadership insight, inspiration, and a little pep talk to keep you rolling down your road to awesome. All right, my friends, welcome into episode 134 of the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. My guest on the show today is Kim Strobel from Strobel Education. If you don't know Kim Strobel, let me tell you a little bit about her. Kim is a renowned motivational speaker and the author of the brand new book, Teach Happy, Small Steps to Big Joy. Kim is sought after by schools, businesses, and organizations worldwide. Her message is all about the impact of happiness on well-being and the pursuit of fulfillment. Kim specializes in empowering educators and professionals, equipping them with the necessary tools and strategies to shift their mindsets, reclaim their happiness, reignite their passion, and lead with purpose. Kim is somebody that I actually met through a mutual friend and previous guest here on the show, Stantall Steve, Steve Bowler. And Kim has been in the professional development space for a while now, and she's going to tell a little bit of that story. But the real power in this particular episode comes in the conversations that Kim and I have, digging deep into the science of reading. Kim really opened up the vault, gave me some incredible insight, shared a lot of great research, and honestly, Kim just brought Kim's energy to this particular conversation, folks. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think you're going to love it, and you're going to get it right after this. Are you a school or district leader looking to unlock the full potential of your team? Do you dream of a cohesive, empowered staff, all marching to the same beat? Well, then look no further. Introducing the ultimate solutions. High-performance leadership teams from Road to Awesome, our two-day leadership retreat designed exclusively for school and district leaders like you. And picture this, a tranquil setting, away from the hustle and bustle, away from the email, away from the phone calls and the constant interruptions. Over the course of two transformative days, you and your fellow leaders strategize, collaborate, and align your visions. You dive deep into discussions, workshops, and team-building activities, all geared towards one common goal: unleashing the collective power of your leadership team. But this isn't just any retreat. It's a dynamic, hands-on experience crafted by experts in education and leadership development. You'll walk away with practical tools, actionable strategies, and a renewed sense of purpose to tackle any challenge that comes your way. Imagine the impact of having your entire leadership team on the same page, working effectively and efficiently towards a shared vision. With our retreat, that dream becomes a reality. So if you're ready to revolutionize your leadership approach, inspire your team, and drive real results in your school, don't miss out on this opportunity. Reach out now to start planning your two-day leadership retreat and take the first steps towards transforming your school for the better. Visit roadtoawesome.net or email me at darren@roadtoawesome.net to set up a free consultation and launch your team into a successful year. Your journey towards exceptional leadership, your journey on the road to awesome, starts right here. So something that I have found to be just fascinating are the connections that we make in the virtual space and in the actual physical space around professional development. Many of the listeners know that my story in becoming a speaker and in working in the professional development space connects to a really, really good friend of mine, a guest here on the podcast a while back, Steve Bowler, Stantall Steve. And recently, I was involved in one of Steve's events when I met today's guest, Kim Strobel. And Kim and I certainly have that connection with Steve Bowler in common, but we found that there's a lot more that we have in common. And so it just made so much sense to have Kim jump on the podcast, talk a little bit about her work, the incredible stuff that she has built at Strobel Education, and of course, her brand new book, Folks, it's out. It's awesome. You've got to get your hands on Teach Happy. We're going to talk about all that stuff. Before we do, though, Kim, welcome into the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Darren. I know that you and I were both at that event and speaking to some of Steve's people, and immediately it's like you and I could have just talked for hours. It's like we're wired the same way, I think.
Yeah, well, and honestly, there was like, how did we not know each other before? Is kind of what my question was. I don't know how that had worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's
so my journey. I taught elementary school, mostly fourth grade, and then from there, I became a literacy coordinator, which meant that I got to really look at and be embedded in classrooms from kindergarten all the way up to grade 12, and I loved that experience of really looking at instruction and content across all grade levels. And then I stepped into school leadership. I was a curriculum director, had a fabulous superintendent who, again, let me really be embedded in classrooms, which you don't always get to do that. But I had always just, I had this vision from a long time ago that I wanted to present and provide professional development for teachers. But I thought, you know, I have no idea. How do you do this? I don't have a business mind. How do you find people? But that like whisper just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so I kind of started to do some back-end stuff while I was a curriculum director. I had a part-time curriculum director's job and kind of started to build my business a little bit on the side. And then we launched in 2016. And honestly, like, my husband always gets behind me, Darren, when it comes to everything in life. But that is the one thing that sent him over the edge was, you know, you're going to give up a stable curriculum director's job, a paycheck every 2 weeks. Insurance is free. And I'm not trying to doubt you, honey, but like, how are you going to make the money? Right. Like we're a two person income family here. And but my gosh, you know what I did, Darren? I said, well, I don't know, but you're going to go see our counselor because I'm doing this and I need you to get behind me. So we launched in 2016. I was a one-woman team. I was going in providing day-long workshops on everything from, you know, standards-based grading to growth mindset to reader's workshop, writer's workshop, just the whole gamut. And that was 2016. And then in 2018, I was like, you know what? I just really think I want to be a motivational speaker. So I'm going to slap that up on my website and we're just going to see what happens. And I remember getting my first call to come speak to 900 people for their back to school event. And I remember Darren sitting in the front row of the auditorium thinking, why does Kim Strobel have to be such an extremist? Why does she always have to push herself to the very edge of fear, which I do know why I do that now. But, and you know, my goodness, these people are here and I'm there. I've never done this before, you know? And my gosh, Darren, that just taught me that, like, you know, too many times we wait till we think we're good enough to do something before we go after it. And in fact, we, you know, you have to start saying yes because you get better by saying yes. And so, you know, you fast forward now to 2024 and I basically travel the country doing keynotes and my two girls are my day-long on-site PD consultants and, you know, they're in 105, they're in schools 105 days from January till May, just working on the science of reading right now, which is a topic we're very invested in. And then, I do the speaking and manage the back end of the business with my team. And I can tell you it's the best decision I ever made, but I sometimes don't even know how I had the courage to do so because it was so scary.
You know, you hit on something there. Well, you hit on a whole bunch of things there that I just think are fascinating. And because I know that there are at least a handful of people that are listening who also maybe have that glimmer, that little thought, that whisper, that tap on the shoulder of, I'd like to go do this work. You know, certainly I went through that as well. So maybe let's chase that just a little bit more. I like how you talked about, you've just got to be willing to say yes. And you've got to be willing to take the risk and you've got to be willing to bet on yourself. I also love that, you know, that your husband supports you. You and I've had this conversation before. If your spouse is not like behind you 100%, I mean, you know, I think I told you my wife is like the real more conservative of the two of us. I'm like this, you know, big idea dreamer, but she was the one who said, no, you need to go do this. I believe in you. I know you can do this. It's incredible, you know, that your spouse is right there and rooting you on and that kind of stuff. Let's talk a little bit more about that particular journey and just, I don't know, so many people I think are risk aversive and they're not willing to take the chance that you took, the chance that I took, the chance that our buddy Steve Boulder took and many others. What are some lessons that you, setting aside the lesson of the pandemic, being an entrepreneur during the pandemic, we don't need to go down that one, but what were some of the lessons that you learned or that you reflect on now, 8 years into this work?
Yeah. You know, I was asked to speak to a college university this week with people who are pursuing their doctorate degree in education. And in this particular class, it was educational entrepreneurship, which I loved that there was a course for this, because I do think that a lot of people are saying, you know, I am kind of called to do this work and I don't know how to get into it. And for me, it was a great reflection, because I think, Darren, I don't know if you're wired like this, but sometimes I feel like I'm still not doing enough. I'm still haven't arrived. Like, oh my God, we're still like trying to get these online courses up and going, and we're trying to, yeah, you know. And it was a great reminder, even as I speak to you and tell you that, oh, we have on-site PD, we have keynotes, we have online courses. It's like, okay, Kim, let, you know, that is something that I've built. But like, I literally went into this not knowing how to build a business at all. And so for me, I really followed what I was passionate about, just like you, right? Like, what are the topics that I so want educators to know that can really help them? And then of course, for me, it's the happiness and well-being piece because of my own journey through, you know, emotional trauma and that whole piece about me that really led me to being very invested in educator well-being and is a big purpose of the book in itself. But I will also say this, Darren, I've grown a successful business, but I am still making mistakes, and I have made a lot of mistakes. And that is just like, you better just be prepared to know that is part of the entrepreneurial journey. You're not going to make the best decisions all of the time. You're constantly trying to say, you know, do I invest in this? Do we do this marketing team? Do we, and you know, more things have worked that than haven't, but I'm still learning so much about how to run this baby.
Yeah. That's really interesting. You know, for me, same thing, you know, chase what you're passionate about. You know, in my case, it's very much about that leadership development, you know, leadership support, climate and culture. Those are really my wheelhouses. That's what I really love to do. But what I discovered in jumping out, and it's now been 3 years for me, I didn't have a clue how to run a business. I didn't have the first clue where to even start. And maybe one of the smartest things that my wife and I did without knowing it was say yes when our daughter said she wanted to get a business degree. We're like, why? Yeah. Oh, hey, wow. She has been, you know, a tremendous support to us, even though she doesn't quite technically work for us. She's been a great supporter. But you learn quickly, and I want to get your take on this. Especially because you mentioned you kind of run the backside of the business and you're kind of the front woman of the company. There's a phrase that my business coach has thrown at me frequently, because I, like you, I struggle with not feeling like I'm doing enough. I got to do more. I got to do more. I got to do more. And what my coach, Jeff, says to me frequently is balance the amount of time you're working in your business with the amount of time you're working on your business. And when you take this step, when you make this leap and discover, hey, I'm now a business owner, you better understand the balance between the two? And I see you shaking your head like, yes, yes, yes. So just run with that.
Yeah. I want to hear, give me an example of how you've utilized that in your business.
Oh man. So, you know, there are those days, and I'm not very good at this. I'm just going to preface this with this. Like, I tell leaders all the time about, you know, what I call balcony level leadership, get up on the balcony, check in on yourself. My wife tells me all the time, follow your own advice. And I'm not very good at it yet, but I will set those times aside where I need to get up on the balcony and check in. How am I doing in these particular areas? My coach has pushed very hard on developing a strategic plan, which we have done. It's not great. You know, it's, if I were to roll this out in a boardroom, people would laugh at our strategic plan, but there's a plan, right? And so it's taking that time to kind of take that step back and say, okay, this quarter we're focused on getting our CRM up and running and feeling like we understand how that works. And in the next quarter, you know, we're taking a real deep dive into those next steps. Like, you have this beautiful, beautiful selection of courses and all that kind of stuff that's coming for me. But I have to take the time to really think about those things,
yes,
as opposed to just being working direct with clients. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at with it.
And that it's such an evolvement. And one of the things I had to do, Darren, was I had to learn to let go of control, right? Like, you know, yes, I could be in schools providing day long PDs, but my schedule would be completely crazy. And yeah, so, you know, am I missing out on income there because my girls are going into the field instead of me? Yes, I am. But that allows me to be able to work, you know, on the business, on the back end of the business a lot of the time. And so I've had to learn to delegate, which was huge. And the other thing is I have purposely, strategically placed people on my team who have the opposite skill set of me, because sometimes I have shiny object syndrome. It's like, oh, now we're going to do this. Oh, now I want to launch this course. Oh, I'm super passionate about leadership right now. I think we needed to create the Leadership Academy. And so my Emma, who is like my co-captain, who's my project manager, who really truly runs all the back end stuff and keeps Kim Strobel in line. That's what she's constantly doing. She's constantly pulling me in and say, hey, Kim, you said your vision this year was that we were going to get super clear about the things that we're currently doing, and we're going to make sure we build the SOPs behind those systems. So I'm going to push back here and say, look, I know you're excited about that idea. And yes, maybe we can put it on the agenda for next year, but let's go back to our intention for this year. And so she's because I'm the visionary, just like, you know, you said, yeah. I got visions. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do all, you know, and I have to be reeled in all the time. Okay, Kim, yeah, if you're really going to do that, then let's reel you back in and get you back on solid ground here, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I know, right? And that's what you have to have. And I think so often, you know, people will look at the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, and they're like, oh man, I want to do that. And it's so glamorous. And yeah, sometimes, you know, you're traveling to really cool places. I was in Times Square just a few weeks ago. But also there are times where, you know, it is digging deep into where do I see the business going in a period of time? What do I need to do to get there? How do we, you know, how do we balance, you know, cash flow? And I mean, you know, some of those kinds of things, you know, just, yeah, man, we could chase this forever. And I think there's probably some people who are like, yeah, just talk about that. But,
they need really to let us know, and we can do another episode, because talk about that, and you can too.
Yeah, but we'll create one of those education entrepreneur podcasts. That's what we do. So actually, that would probably be really, really good. People would.
Something, Darren, that I when I spoke to these, you know, students who were anywhere from age 22 to age 62. I didn't know how passionate until Monday night when I spoke to them, how passionate I am about educational entrepreneurship. And in fact, Malik is one of the guys who is a coach, and he's really wanting to get into mindset coaching with athletes. And I was telling him to look you up. You know, I gave him your information. I was like, look and see what this guy's doing, because he's kind of knocking that out of the ballpark. He's where you want to go. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's the thing about that educational entrepreneurship is there's so much work and so many problems that we can all help solve. But you and I both need to not chase the shiny objects and think, ooh, I can help solve that problem. And ooh, I can help solve that problem. I'm going to dial in on the ones
that we got to stay in our niche right now.
Exactly. Absolutely. So let's stay in your niche right now and talk a little bit about, we can go in one of two directions, and I'm going to let you kind of choose your own adventure here. You've talked about obviously happiness and wellness with educators being such a passion of yours, but you also mentioned that your team right now has really taken a deep dive into the science of reading. So whichever path you would like to take.
Oh my gosh. Here you are. He's challenging me right now.
We can hit them both if you want, you know.
I know. Really can't, this is what he's like, well, you know, we're going to see if you follow both of these. I'm pitching both of them to you. I can talk briefly about the science of reading and why I am crazy passionate about this. I've always been interested in literacy as a teacher. It was my absolute like passion. I was constantly learning from others about how to teach reading. But we as a team at Strobel Education have been very embedded in the science of reading now for a few years. And, you know, I go back to this quote, Darren, that says that, I think it's, I can't try to get exactly right, but I think it's in the present. I think it's something like, you know, 90% of fourth graders are really, truly not, sorry, I don't think it's 65%. 65% of current fourth graders are not reading proficiently. 65%. But here's, Jeff, the other statistic is that what we know from how the brain learns to read now, 95% of students can learn how to read. And that is, so our online course is a 12-hour course that we have like 17 school districts who since January are enrolled in, because this is a complete flip from everything I was taught as a teacher for how to teach reading. You know, I was taught the three cueing system for teaching reading. That is still in almost every curriculum that all of us are using. We're still using, you know, Marie Clay's three cueing system, you know, asking them, well, what does the word start with? How does it sound? You know, that doesn't work. And so the issue is we have curriculum materials and we've been schooled in this one way of how to teach reading. And now we know from the brain research that there's a very systemic way that brains learn to read, and every single brain learns to read this way. And so how do we do that? How do we now switch from, you know, the whole-based learning approach to reading to structured literacy? And structured literacy has very key components. And one of those, Darren, is phonics and phonemic awareness. And I can tell you as a fourth grade teacher, I didn't know one thing about how to teach phonics, but I had 10 students in my class who were still over on the island of decoding, not knowing how to read, and they needed phonics instruction. But as their fourth grade teacher, I didn't know any, because that's like a first grade teacher's job, you know? And so this really walks them through exactly how we start to implement structured literacy in our classrooms. And wow, that statistic, 95% of kids can learn to read, and they all learn to read the exact same way. And here's how.
We will return to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast in just a moment. But first, let me ask you a question. Have you ever said to yourself, man, I should write a book? Well, if you have, then let me ask you another question. What's holding you back? What keeps you from taking the step that moves you from, I have an idea about a book, to, I am a published author? From experience, I would bet it's probably you're wondering who would even want to read a book that I wrote. Maybe you're questioning the idea. Is it unique enough? Is it valid enough? Is it good enough to be a book worthy of having published? Hey, as a best-selling author myself, I can tell you, most writers have had the exact same feelings at some point in time during their writing journey. Here at Road to Awesome, we believe in cultivating leaders by elevating voices and promoting positivity. And a part of that work is publishing books for educators by educators. Go to roadtoawesome.net and hit the Contact Us button to set up a free, no obligation conversation about your book idea. Hey, educators, we've all had incredible experiences. We all have amazing stories. and every one of them deserves to be told. Go to roadtoawesome.net, hit the Contact Us button. Let's have that conversation about your book idea. And now, back to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Man, that's powerful. It is just so, so powerful. You know, you mentioned the statistic around 65% of fourth graders, you know, are unable to read. We actually had a board member who was very adamant and had latched onto similar data and just was really just insisted. This is when I was a high school principal. So it didn't directly impact me because I wasn't, you know, one of the principals at the elementary. But his push was very strongly and very appropriately, I might add, was we need to really, really lean into our fourth graders. We've got to reverse that trend and really focus on making sure that those kids are coming out of fourth grade able to read so that they can be successful going forward. There's some other statistics that connect to inability to read in fourth grade and the school to prison mm-hmm. pipeline, some other pieces that he had really pulled in there. And the more we can lean in, and it's encouraging to hear you say 95% of them can.
So I know.
Really, I know. Lean into that science. I love it.
Schools, you know, we got to get teachers learning how to deliver structured literacy instruction. And when we can do that, we change the game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. How far, tell me this, like how far up would you take that training? So, I mean, there were times certainly even, you know, in my high school days where we would have kids still unable to read. So are you leaning into middle school teachers? Are you leaning into high school teachers with this training?
So the current course that we created, here's what I would say. We got seniors who still cannot decode and cannot read words, right? Or read sentences or read phrases. And in fact, there's this fabulous podcast called Sold a Story. It's a 6-episode podcast, and it just validated everything that I've been feeling, and it really walks the trajectory of where we were misled in our reading instruction and in our curriculum materials. But in there was a 55-year-old guy who had never learned to read. And so he, at 55, was taught phonemic awareness and phonics instruction along with other things. And that's how he learned to read. And so, you know, my course, I say, is very much geared towards pre-K through, I would say, I think for sure grade 6. And in one of the modules, we have a module that is like above and beyond, what it looks like above and beyond. But that's just one module. I would say anybody listening to the course is going to glean information. But as a team, we've talked about, okay, now let's create a course that is for grade 6 through 12 that has to do with science of reading, that is very zeroed in on that. But for the most part, I mean, yeah, we're going to adjust a few things, but, you know, you still have to understand sound, letter, you know, correspondences, and you have to understand diagraphs and blends and patterns and vowel patterns. I mean, it's all the same, right? And so it's what does that look like though? That's really hard. I mean, like, you know, if you're a 10th grade history teacher, you are not over there teaching kids how to read. Right. I mean, you're just not, you know? And so it is something that needs to be very embedded at all grade levels, but it does need to look a little differently.
Right. But I think, you know, having been a middle school and high school teacher, and I content area was science. So certainly I would have kids that at different times that were, you know, unable to read. I'm not necessarily feeling like that's training for me, the middle school or high school science teacher, to learn to teach them to read. But where I see advantage, where I see it would truly make a difference, is increasing awareness, increasing that understanding of why a student struggles. I think that's one of the hardest things sometimes as a teacher, right? Is I don't struggle with this, so I don't see why you do. And so again, not necessarily do do secondary teachers need to learn how to teach kids to read?
Right.
But I think just having that understanding that
I agree, you know, it's fascinating.
Ability to empathize, right?
Yeah. I mean, how are they going to learn the science content when they're over there and they can't even sound out words, you know?
Yeah.
And it gives you great compassion for these kids who have gone through our school system. And we've all thought we've tried to do right. It's not our fault. We were just doing what we were told. But there's a big issue when they're going grade level to grade level and they're still unable to read. And my heart really hurts for them. And what that does for their future success if they can't learn, if they don't get the right instruction to learn to read.
Yeah. Well, and then so we'll flip this to the other side of the desk to the teacher who is frustrated because they don't necessarily have the skill set to help that kid. Or they don't understand why the student is even struggling. And that leads to, I mean, let's be honest, teachers, we take it all on, right? We're just sponges for misery. Anything, any struggle, any challenge, any difficulty, we soak it all in because that's what we want to do as educators. We're fixers, right? And so that leads to a lot of teachers who get pretty stressed out and get a little bit burned out. And that kind of transitions us a little bit into just overall happiness and well-being for teachers. So we've got the opportunities there for science of reading, but now let's just talk about helping our teachers be happy and take care of themselves.
Well, and that's the whole thing is once again, you know, as educators, we're sick of this. We're sick of investing all of our energy into being taught how to do something a certain way and then being told it's all wrong now. You know, it's like, once again, you know, we spent all this time and money and investment and now I gotta change again, you know, and I get it. And so for me, you know, as a happiness coach, which by the way, I do not promote toxic positivity. I'm not one of these people that says, you know, like, just shift your mind to positive and focus on all that's good. And with the book, I talk about that because one of the reasons I'm so passionate about happiness and well-being is I've had my own mental health struggle, Darren. I'm somebody who struggled for many years in my life with debilitating panic disorder. I struggled to do the simplest of things as a young adult, leave my house, walk to my mailbox, drive to the grocery store, walk in the grocery store, stay at home by myself. And so I have this entire trauma story around mental health and how it impacted every single facet of my life and almost destroyed me. And I talk about that in the book because, you know, many times when we bring up the word happiness and it's like, oh, come on, what, come on, Kim, like, what are you going to talk to me today? You know, but here's the deal is what I know. And I call a spade a spade. This profession is drowning educators and leaders. It just is. And they've got overwhelming expectations. They're always telling us to put one more thing on our platter, but they never take anything away. And I think it's this giant out of control beast. But what I've learned in my own life, Darren, is that I want to focus on where our power really lies. And here's the deal. I don't know that the whole education system is going to get reworked by the time you and I are still walking this earth, where they actually start to acknowledge teachers' worth. They start to take some things off their plate. They start to pay them what they're worth. I don't know that that's going to happen. I always say that we cannot maybe change the education system in that way. I don't know that we can. What I do know is the only piece we have power over is how we operate in a system that's constantly trying to deplete us, that constantly requires too much of us. And so that was the whole, you know, I speak on the science of happiness in the way that I acknowledge the heart of our life. We've all, not everybody's had panic disorder, but most of us have had some challenge or we're in the midst of it right now. We've had some type of adversity. We've had something that we've had to overcome. And at some point in our life, we have to go, you know what? I'm not going to be a victim anymore. Victimhood gets me nowhere. I'm stepping over here into warrior mode. And in fact, when I can implement these changes, I actually take my life back in this profession and outside of it. And so I've studied the topic of happiness and well-being for 20 years. I know the shifts it takes so that we can actually start to feel good in our professional life again and outside of it. And honestly, getting up on the stage for 60 or 75 minutes it is so much fun. I get the whole crowd going. Like, it's so inspirational. But the bottom line is they walk back to the abyss of their desk or their offices. And I needed something tangible that says, let me walk you chapter by chapter, exactly how I try to do this in my own life. I am not the happiness guru. I am a happiness practitioner, and I'm constantly having to implement these own practices in my life too.
Oh, I just love that so much. You know, we are one of my all-time favorite quotes. I've said it here on the show many times. So those of you who listen all the time, say it with me. Rory Vaden said, "We are uniquely positioned to help the person that we once were." One of my favorite quotes. And certainly, you know, your experience, what you have lived through and continue to do each and every day brings inspiration to people who are going through similar challenges, whether, like you said, whether they've had, you know, battles with panic disorder or not. We've all had to do hard things. We all have those days. We've all worked for that boss, or, you know, with those couple of parents, or that school board member, or whatever, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. No, I love that. I think that's really, really powerful, and that's something that, you know, is certainly a message, I think, folks, that your teachers need to hear. I think that's an important piece. I mean, now we've got the book is out. Mm-hmm. And Teach Happy. I mean,
Teach wow. Happy, Small Steps to Big Joy.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, I would say there's got to be, you know, some kind of story behind that title, but man, that's just like bang. That's just right there. Here it is. Teach Happy. So give me this really quick. So people are going to want to get in touch with you, and I'm going to ask you how you're leaning into leadership here in just a couple of minutes, but just really quick. So it's chapter by chapter. I'm walking you through this. Man, I'm a superintendent, and I'm reaching out to Kim Strobel and saying, in August, I want you on stage kicking off for my staff, right?
Yeah.
Tell me what the message is. Just like in a nutshell. In a nutshell, what's the message that you're going to bring standing on a stage to, 500 teachers as they get ready to start their school year?
Well, I always say during my keynote, we almost elicit every single emotion, because I when I can get emotion involved, that's when I get change involved, right? And so for me, it's really teaching them that here's the deal. We do serve in a really tough profession, but we're going to, but what we know is that when we learn to bring happiness and well-being to the forefront of our life, we actually become way better employees. And I'll give you the research on that, Darren. Here's what we know is that the brain is malleable. Okay. And so, we know that 50% of your long-term happiness is genetic. It comes from your mom or your dad or a mixture of both. And many times when I tell people this, I watch their heads in the crowd drop, and they literally say, "I'm so screwed," right? Like 50% of my happiness is genetic. Kim Strobel, come on. You know, do you know my mom? Oh my God, you know? And so, but what's interesting is if we keep going with that, is that we know that we can take every single external circumstance that a person has had or has. What kind of childhood did you have? What kind of household did you grow up in? What kind of job do you have? How much money do you make? Every external circumstance, and we can throw all of that into the pie. And the research says that that only accounts for about 10%, Darren, of our long-term happiness. But if you're like Kim Strobel, you let some people, you let some school board members, you let some parents steal way more than 10% of the pie for way too long. But to me, it's empowering. It's like, okay, so that's where I get to take my power back then, because that's me needing to rewire my brain and to have a set of happiness habits that gets me out of that darn gutter quicker, because I don't want to lose myself. I don't want to let a job steal my joy, or people or parents or anybody else steal my joy. So how do I get control of my brain? And that's where the last 40% comes in, is regardless of your genetics, regardless of your external circumstances, every human being can increase their happiness levels by up to 40%. And that has to do with our thoughts, our actions, and our behaviors. Thoughts, actions and behaviors. And Darren, that's what I focus on in the keynote is, okay, your brain is malleable. We can change your brain. And here's what happens when I change your brain. When I get your brain to positive, more than negative, neutral, or stressed, you're going to be 31% more productive in your job. 31% when your brain's at positive versus negative, neutral, or stressed. Not only are you 31% more productive, you're going to be 10, and this is blows my mind, 10 times more engaged, Darren. 10 times more engaged in your job. 3 times more creative. 23%. The statistics are astounding, and the research is so vetted on this, which is why we have to start putting employee well-being at the forefront. If we want systemic change, if we want to change how we operate in our schools, how we show up as educators and teachers and leaders, we do have to learn that happiness habits and putting that at the forefront of our life is going to change every single lever.
Love it. Love it. That is just...
Can you tell I'm crazy about this? I could talk. Yeah. I'm so passionate. Full of energy. I know it works. I've done it in my own life and it works.
I love it so much. And, you know, there's clearly so much passion behind that. Folks, make sure you're grabbing a copy of Teach Happy. You know, you definitely want to be checking that book out and checking out Kim Strobel. Kim, we're at that point in the show where I'm going to ask the same question I ask everybody else who comes here onto the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. Man, you've brought so many wonderful things, so many gold nuggets in leadership and mindset today. But I'll still go ahead and ask the question, Kim Strobel, how are you leaning into leadership right now?
That's okay. So here's how I'm leaning into leadership. We've been getting requests for leadership in the way that many new principals are getting hired and their superintendents are feeling like they need help. Do you offer a workshop? Do you offer coaching on coaching new principals? And so we have that experience, but it's not something that has been at the forefront of my mind because I've been so focused on these other areas. And what I'm finding is that that's the work that I think we want to do next. It's like, how do we really support these new administrators who literally are coming in and have zero experience and all that they're going to face? How do we equip them so that their first couple years gets them on solid footing so we don't lose them, so that they don't check out and say, no, I'm not doing this, you know, and now we're going to have to replace them again. And so that's kind of making me like revisit my own leadership skills and figuring out what those pieces might look like, which is totally, I know your jam. I might have to reach out to you for some of those pieces as well. But I don't know. I feel enthusiastic about this because I feel like if we can give them the supports they need, then we really do set them up to be so much more successful the first couple of years when they're getting their footing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and it's honestly, it's just getting through and, you know, feeling some success in those first couple of years. And like you said, get your footing so that you can move from that world where all you do is fight fires to where you're actually leading in your school or leading in your department or leading in your district. So huge, huge piece. And I love that you talked about that. Man, so many great things here in this particular episode. I just love this conversation so much. I don't want it to come to an end, but that's what we have to do. We have to bring it to an end. So Kim, really quick, how do people get in touch with you? How do they learn more about Strobel Education, about Kim Strobel, all of that great stuff?
Yeah, the easiest place is just to go to strobeleducation.com and you're going to find everything on there. And in the menu bar, you're even going to see the Teach Happy book. And I will tell you that I think the book is like $26, but if you order more than 15 for your faculty, you get it for like $15. There's a big bulk order discount. And then on the website, there's like an admin study guide that can be downloaded so that you can actually walk with your teachers through the school year with the book and kind of go chapter by chapter and make this a part of like your PLC so that you really do put a focus on teacher well-being and your own well-being, but kind of can coach them through the school year so that we really get change and implementation. And so, yeah, you'll find everything on the website.
Outstanding. Right on. Thank you so much for your time today and for coming here onto the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Darren. I appreciate you.
All right, folks, big, huge thank you to the deliverer of joy, Kim Strobel. Man, what an incredible conversation that one is. Whew, if that doesn't make you want to teach happy, I don't know what will. Make sure you get down there in the show notes, click on that link, go get a copy of Kim's book, get connected with Kim on Facebook, on Instagram, hit her up with an email, have conversations with her, because you definitely want to engage with Strobel Education. And now it's time for a pep talk. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity, the honor, to be the keynote speaker for the Nebraska School Business Officials Conference in Lincoln, Nebraska. And one of the things that I really leaned heavily into during that particular keynote was reminding folks, all of the leaders in the room, school business officials, superintendents, building level administrators, and so forth, to remember that tap on the shoulder. That person who reached out to them and said, hey, you really should consider a career in leadership. And whether that was an informal conversation or a formal conversation like mine was, when my principal, Betsy, reached out and said specifically, Darren, you need to consider a career in leadership. No matter how that tap on the shoulder came your way, I want to challenge you this week to just simply reach out. If that person's still around, if you still have that connection with that individual, reach out to them. Reach out to them and say, thank you for inviting me to the leadership table. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, the inspiration, the mentorship that you did to help me become the leader that I am. At the end of the keynote, I shot a real quick selfie with the crowd. It's a little bit of a goofy picture, but that's okay. And I very quickly sent that picture to Betsy, the one who tapped me on the shoulder, with a big thank you. You know, as leaders, we have impact on other people's lives, and sometimes we don't know that we've had that impact. But you know what? If you have the opportunity to let that person know that they did make a difference in your life, that they did impact you, that they did tap you on the shoulder, they did invite you to that leadership table, now's the opportunity to reach out and say thank you. You know it will mean so much to them. Well, that's what I've got for you this week, folks. Get out there. Have a road to awesome week. Thank you for listening to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, brought to you by Road to Awesome. Don't forget, click subscribe, give a review, and share this with somebody who might also enjoy leaning into leadership.